2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The final horn has sounded.
That'll do it.
And it's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show with your hosts, Jake Scott and the coach, Tim LeCoe.
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Jazz fall tonight to the Suns, 117-103. Coach Walker Kessler, we talked about it, had a big game once again tonight. 7 blocks, 18 points, 8 rebounds. The Jazz got 25 points from Lauri Markkanen. But Phoenix had nice nights from Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and really a host of others, and come away with the win, pulling away in the fourth quarter.
Jazz were so good at the rim tonight. Give you an idea, it was like in the bottom 10% of attempts this year by Phoenix in a game at the rim, and they were 12 for 21 at the rim. So the Jazz and Kessler, a huge part of the reason why.
All right, let's get downstairs and hear from Jazz head coach Will Hardy.
The night we could not throw the ball in the ocean for long stretches of time. We missed some chippies around the rim we normally make. We missed some wide open threes, and that can wear on you as a team. Phoenix is a great team, very well coached, a lot of experience. I thought they hit some tough mid-range jump shots. They hit some end-of-clock threes at key times that helped them stretch out the lead. I feel for our guys tonight because they've put in a lot of work, and their intensity and their willingness to do it together every night, the way they conduct themselves at practice and shoot around is something that I'm very proud of. And, I'm frustrated for them because I think they came into tonight's game with a good mindset. I think they tried to move the ball. I think we went through long stretches of time where we couldn't make shots, and that tends to make people antsy. And it's hard. Like you hear people say all the time, it's a make or miss league at times. I'm not always a believer in that, but there are moments where the ball does need to go in a few times in order to help you regain the rhythm of the game. Like, it's hard to play a game when you're going through long stretches of not scoring. I thought for the most part our defense was pretty good. I think at times, again, when you're not converting and able to get back and set your defense, it becomes hard when you're playing a very good team like that. So I thought we did a good job protecting the paint tonight. A few too many fouls, especially the first quarter. I think that's how Booker really kind of made an imprint on the game early. Obviously, he made some tough shots in the first quarter, but he had 18 at the end of the first quarter and ends with 24. We did a better job as the game went on of not fouling as much, but just a tough night, but now we get to go on a big three-game trip, and we're excited about the next game.
You just look at the plus-minuses tonight and kind of the second unit struggles were there, and obviously you guys are shorthanded in that way, but is there something you would have liked to see differently in terms of their style of play or, you know, performance on the defensive end or anything like that, or is it just one of those things?
Yeah, I thought, again, for the most part, when that second group was out there, they tried to move the ball, you know, for periods of time. We got some good looks from three. I thought Johnny got some good looks from three, and they didn't go in. And defensively, you know, in the beginning of that fourth quarter, like, Terrence Ross hit a couple hard shots. Now, that's who Terrence Ross is. He's a tough shot maker, but, you know, he went 5 for 14 in the game, but, like, emotionally it doesn't feel that way because my most recent memory of Terrence Ross, he made a couple really hard shots in the fourth quarter. But, you know, that's sometimes how it goes. You know, TJ Warren hit some pull-ups that were key shots from them. Campaign seems to always kind of make a basket when they need one. You know, they had some guys step up and make some tough shots. I didn't feel like that group, you know, overly gave up the rim or let them shoot wide open threes. I thought, you know, they delivered on the offensive end for their team. And I just think, you know, we got to figure out offensively what we're going to do with that group to try to generate some easier baskets. You know, we're trying to play a lot of off ball, and at times we're committed to it, and at times we sort of freeze a little bit. You know, that second group, they don't have a ton of experience playing together. So some of that is to be expected. You know, we're trying to get that group as many reps as we can together so that they can figure out how to play off one another, because we do like to play, you know, that off ball style and let them flow a little bit. So some of that's going to take a little bit of time, but we don't have time. So we've got to figure out a way as a staff to help that group generate some better shots. Understanding that some of it, you know, when you have this many new guys playing together in that group, it's tough. So we may need to look at changing up the substitution patterns a little bit and trying to mix that group some.
Beyond not fouling him as much, were there other things that stood out to you about the way you guys defended Devin Booker over the second, third, and fourth quarter?
Yeah, I thought once we started mixing in the zone, it kept him off balance a little bit. It didn't let him play his traditional pick-and-roll game that he's so good at. He's just lethal in the mid-range. And I thought, you know, mixing up the defenses kept him out of a rhythm, maybe from like a play calling standpoint, where they're having to run some different things against the zone, which didn't allow him to stay in rhythm. So, you know, we'll go back and watch it. Obviously, he's able to get to his spots so well that at times you're doing your best just to make it hard. And, you know, he went through some stretches where he just missed some of those turnaround fadeaways in the mid-range. But I think the mixing of the defense has helped change the rhythm a little bit.
Do you find anything in common on the nights when Walker has these prolific block nights? Like, is he doing something different at all?
I don't see it when I watch the film. I think there are teams that have shown a ton of respect for him and not challenged him much, played a lot of dump off and things like that. And, you know, I thought tonight he just did such a good job of being active, and for whatever reason, they challenged him maybe a few more times than they would have liked. You know, there's two of the seven or three of the seven blocks were just kind of crazy. Like, one was like, it looked like a floater from like 11 feet that he got, which I don't really know what to say about that other than that's awesome. And then the last one on Ayton, you know, Ayton's used to being such a physical big body in there, and he kind of shouldered Walker and shot the turnaround, and I think Walker's length surprised him some. So he's been highly active all year. I can nitpick a couple of moments where I'm on him about his activity, but I think there have been certain teams where I've really felt like the fear of Walker or the respect of Walker is there more than other games where they're really just not challenging him much. You know, I think some of the best shot blockers in the league, sometimes you see that where, like, they go through periods where they're not getting a bunch of block shots, and part of that's because no one's testing them. Tonight they tried to get to the rim more, and he made some great plays. So, you know, Terrence Ross tried to dunk on him in the first half, and he got a block there. So some of it is just people challenging him more.
He also never commits fouls. Like, he rarely is in foul trouble. Is that technique? Is that respect? Or what is it?
It's both. His technique has improved. I think he, for sure, the reputation that he has now is helpful. Like, all of the best defenders in the NBA, part of it is they have a reputation. It's not that they don't ever foul. It's that they're known as a great defender. And so those moments where it's a coin toss, they get the benefit of the doubt more often. And I think as the season's gone on, like, he's really gotten the respect of the league, the officials, the players, in terms of being one of those premier shot blockers. And I think that's led to not being in as much foul trouble. Because early in the year, I felt like there were tons of times that he was in foul trouble, even coming off the bench and playing less minutes. You know, teams have gotten him some lately on some shot fakes, but those plays at the rim, his technique has been pretty sound. And I think also there have probably been four or five in the last couple of games where I think because of his reputation, he's not getting called for a foul.
Last time we talked to Lowry, he mentioned how he's really starting to feel the beating. He's been taken over the course of the season, a lot of the falls, a lot of the contact, yet he winds up with 12 free throws tonight. I guess, what did you see out of the way he played? Anything different or just kind of going out there and doing his usual thing?
Yeah, I thought he maintained physicality throughout the whole game. I think that's what allowed him to get to the free throw line. He obviously, he's missed a couple games, and I'm sure he's frustrated from, like, a rhythm standpoint. I think he had some really good looks from three, especially in that first half, that we're used to seeing him make 2 out of 5, 3 out of 5, and he just couldn't quite get it to go. He missed a couple bunnies around the rim that we've seen him finish a lot this year, and I think some of that is because he hasn't played the last couple games, so you're a little out of rhythm. But I was very, very pleased with the fact that he maintained, like, an aggressive downhill mindset. Even the ball popped out of his hands a couple times late in the game. But when you watched how he was playing, like, he was still putting his shoulder down, trying to get to the rim. He wasn't playing passive. So I think his mindset was good throughout the whole game for sure.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
There is Jazz head coach Will Hardy. Excuse me, this Jazz come up a little short of the Suns tonight, 117-103. A lot of interesting things there, coach, but specifically about Walker Kessler and his ability to get those blocks impressively so. And also interesting to hear him talk about him playing defense without fouling, and talked about how he's developing a rep, and that pays off.
Yeah, and he's very good. Like, I think he answered it great. I think his combination of all those factors, but he's got great discipline. Number of times he's left his feet this year, certainly done it, but he's got great discipline to stay down, be the second jumper, go straight up, all those things. It's been fun to watch him develop in that area this year.
All right, with that, we will say good night to our network stations. Our next broadcast is coming your way, Coach, on Wednesday night. The Jazz will be in San Antonio to take on the Spurs. That game will tip off at 7 o'clock. For those of you sticking around with us, we'll have more player sound for you. We'll continue to get Coach Combs' thoughts on this one as Jazz fall to the Suns tonight, 117-103. You are listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
The final horn has sounded.
That'll do it.
And it's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show with your hosts, Jake Scott, and the coach, Tim Lacoe.
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, coach Tim Lacombe. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share markmillersubaru.com. Jazz fall tonight, 117-103 to the Phoenix Suns. Coach, any other thoughts on what we heard from Coach Hardy in the last segment? We talked about what he had to say about Walker Kessler, but not happy with how his team shot the ball.
Yeah, it was, and it's going to happen. I mean, it was frustrated for them because they did play hard and they did move the ball and they executed, but the ball didn't go in the hoop. Sometimes that happens, but the effort was great. And I thought, you know, Lowry did not, he's missed a couple games, and to coach's point, was a little bit out of rhythm, and that happens too. But, you know, there was a lot of really good things tonight. It took a real push by Phoenix there in the fourth quarter, and we just talked about it. The Jazz, they had such a deep roster of a ton of experience, and coach could kind of pick and choose his matchups and close with different guys. They're just limited. I'm more limited now with guys out, and, you know, I love the way they're competing.
Lowry did lead the team in scoring with 25 points, but as you talked about, didn't have that rhythm, shooting 6 of 22, 2 of 10 from 3. Did get the line 12 times, though. 11 of 12 from the line. He had 9 rebounds. He also had a couple of assists. We mentioned Walker Kessler with 18 and 8 tonight, not to mention 7 block shots. Talen Horton Tucker had 16. Ochai had 9 tonight. Kelly Olynyk had 10, although he continues to flirt with that triple-double, right? 10.7 assists, 7 rebounds for Kelly tonight. Let's see here. Talen Horton Tucker also had 8 assists, by the way, to go along with his 16 points. For the Suns, 24 points from Devin Booker on 7 of 19 shooting. DeAndre Ayton had 14, and the bench really got it going, Coach, especially there in the third and fourth quarter. Campaign, who's a fine player, had 12 points. Terrence Ross with 13 off the bench. Bismack Biyombo had 11. And then TJ Warren added 9. Ish Wainwright added 9. So Phoenix got a very nice, balanced game tonight. Chris Paul didn't shoot the ball well. He only had 9 points on 4 of 12 shooting, but had 10 assists and 0 turnovers.
Ish Wainwright is a big dude, 6'5", 250, Baylor. But he shot the ball well, and I think they've been pretty pleased with him. You know, this year he's kind of come in and given him a nice little lift, and he's a big, strong guy, kind of shades of Jay Crowder a little bit, kind of that same rough, yeah. You know, rough you up and make shots. And so, no, it was – I think that was the difference. They were able to kind of make a run with those guys – start of the fourth quarter, got in a rhythm, and we all know once the Suns get in a rhythm, they're pretty hard to stop.
Because if you look at the plus-minus, which can tell some of the story, I mean, you look at like a Kogi tonight was minus 10. DeAndre Ayton was actually minus 3. Chris Paul was minus 1. Torrey Craig was minus 12. Devin Booker was plus 10, but then you look at coming off the bench, Coach, and these numbers just pop out at you. Wainwright, we were talking about him, plus 12. TJ Warren, plus 26. Biyombo, plus 19. Campaign, plus 17. Landry Shamet, plus 14. I mean, you can kind of tell the story right there, what lineups Phoenix got a lot of production out of. And probably not a surprise because, you know, with the shorthanded Jazz, they're not the deepest team in the world. And you look at the 18 minutes Damian Jones played, for example, he was minus 23. So those lineups, you know, hurt tonight. And that's not a surprise.
Yeah, and it's not a, you know, not a rip on those guys either. They're in a new territory. The guys are playing different roles, different minutes. So development all the way through. But I thought a hard-fought game. The Jazz came out definitely ready to battle. And it was a night where we saw Lowry struggle shooting it, but everybody really kind of struggled. But the effort was great. Loved the employment of zone, getting in and out of it. And Walker Kessler, again, a very bright spot for the Jazz tonight.
And by the way, we've come to expect nothing less out of this Jazz team. They go pour it on every single night. There was that little stretch around the trade deadline where things were a little bit dramatic around the team, where maybe you could say, all right, the effort wasn't quite as consistent. But really, outside of that, I mean, they bring it every night. They give teams a run for their money. And tonight, the final score wasn't as close. 117 to 103, but they still played hard. That was a Jazz team that did not mail it in by any stretch.
Credit the guy we heard, you know, Coach Hardy, there in that last segment. I mean, the credit goes to this culture that's kind of forming here, that you do go out and play every night hard. Yeah. You pass the ball, you share it, you know, you compete like crazy, and you also hold your head high when things don't go well. You know, not a lot of frustration and blame, just kind of pick up the pieces. And you know, tonight I think everybody knows, you know, with the Jazz being shorthanded, Phoenix trying to jockey for position in the playoffs, this was going to be a tough one.
Let's get to the Master of the Glass tonight, brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass. Proud to present this year's Master of the Glass rebound program. At the end of the regular season, Safe Light will donate $5 to a charitable organization for each rebound secured by this year's team rebound leader. Tonight's Master of the Glass is Lowry Markkanen, who had 9 rebounds tonight to go along with his 25 points. The Jazz as a team out-rebounded by Phoenix 49-47. But how about this number, Coach? Phoenix had 18 offensive rebounds tonight. That's a big number.
That is a big number. Talked about it. The zone sometimes is hard to block out. And that's something you're going to give up. You're blocking out, instead of a man you're assigned to, it's an area. and guys can get crossed up, you know, and so it's just something along the lines of the development of the zone that you just continue to work and drill.
But I heard you guys talking about this in the pregame. I mean, the effective part of the zone is taking away the rim, and that was true tonight too. But they gave away, I mean, how many post games have we come on this year, coach, and talked about how the Jazz just struggled taking away layups and dunks, and the zone throws a little curveball that way.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So it's a, it's something they're working on. I like the way they took some time during the break to work on it. And, it's been nice to see them play it. It's been better some nights than others. But it's certainly a good change up and a good way to handle a team that penetrates and gets in your guts a lot.
We're just getting this, I guess, somewhat breaking news coming out. At least Sarah Todd of the Des News is reporting this. First place I've seen it. Jarrell Brantley's 10-day contract comes to an end tomorrow, and the Jazz will not be signing him to a second one. So you and I both have enjoyed watching him play over the past couple of years when he's had his stretches with the Jazz, and wish him well with his next stop.
Yeah, he looked good, too. I thought he played well in the time he got.
Put that stuff on film and go try and make another team. So there you go. That's a little news there on Jarrell Brantley. We'll get to more sound coming up right around the corner. Postgame is brought to you by our friends at Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. Jazz Fall 117-103. More next. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Jazz post game, Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Jazz come up a little short tonight, 117-103. Post game brought to you by our friends at Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share MarkMillerSubaru.com. What do you think about the Suns, Coach Lacombe? Kevin Durant supposed to come back next game. Too bad we didn't get a chance to see him tonight, although he was obviously in attendance. You know, they made that big trade, big swing. Looking tonight, this isn't the team we'll necessarily see in the playoffs, but I thought the complementary pieces played really well for Phoenix tonight.
I did too, and that's encouraging. That's what they're going to have. They're like the Jazz we talked about tonight. They're not the same deep team they were last year that we got used to watching. Really, they had the embarrassment of riches at times, but the top line guys are going to have to be great, and they've certainly got their level of that with Booker, KD if he can be healthy, and Chris Paul. So they got star power, but it's those guys on, you know, an Ish Wainwright coming in and making shots, a Campaign coming in kind of taking or changing the tempo of the game. It's going to be more on those guys to help because those big three you can pretty much count on if they can get into a rhythm and get in sync.
Part of me thinks that much like their run to the finals a couple of years ago, I think a lot of it will depend on DeAndre Ayton, and how well he plays. Because I'm with you. I think you'll get, you know, Kevin Durant style Kevin Durant. You know, you're going to get Devin Booker, who's going to be great, and they're going to score a lot. But Chris Paul's production has fallen off a little bit from a scoring standpoint. I mean, he still dished out 10 assists tonight. And I think maybe Aiden has to be that next piece that performs well for them to get past a team like Milwaukee, if that's even possible.
Yeah, good point. It's going to have to be. It'll have to gel. Like I said, for all intents and purposes, their season, it's almost like starts tomorrow. You know, he gets back, or Wednesday when he plays, gets back and you kind of start to see them take shape. We all know teams can get hot. You know, we watched the Lakers in the bubble. And a team can get hot and play well. And so certainly it's set up for them to do that. Did not expect Durant to tweak himself in the layup line. So you never know.
What a thing, you know?
What a thing. Yeah, absolutely, what a thing. But, you know, you get through it, and hopefully for them, you know, they can now try to figure out a way to get in a rhythm for the playoffs.
You know, it's Dallas is facing something similar where they're trying to incorporate Kyrie Irving, and they've had a tough time getting those two and Luka and Kyrie on the floor at the same time to get kind of a rhythm going into the playoffs. And I think with a player like Kevin Durant, this Phoenix team, you know, they're pretty veteran laden. I don't know if they would have needed a whole month to gear up for the playoffs, but they're going to need a couple of weeks to figure out how to play together and who's going to fit where.
Yep, exactly. I mean, we've seen, you know, the Jazz this year that the fit was early and everybody was excited, and it was a group of like-minded guys who wanted to shoot open shots and take good shots and certainly coach to do that. So this will, yeah, they're going to get back to figuring out who's going to do what, and we'll see just how far along KD is, but an intriguing team to watch in the playoffs, no doubt.
Because we've had this conversation a zillion times, but I'm not so sure who I believe in the Western Conference. I mean, you know, Memphis has been red hot. We were talking about that off the air. I'm still not buying the Kings. Certainly their performances recently against the Jazz are not necessarily changing my mind on that. Golden State, still Golden State, but they're a year older. We'll see what matchups, you know, they can get. But Phoenix is intriguing because they've got one of the top, you know, three players still in the NBA and Kevin Durant somewhere there, 3-4. Maybe that's even being, you know, you could even say still top two. But Devin Booker, who's obviously a budding superstar, and Chris Paul, and it's a good team. We should be talking about them as far as the Western Conference goes. Again, I don't think I'm putting them above Milwaukee quite yet, but pretty good. And I didn't even mention Denver, by the way. I'm not sure whether or not to buy into the Nuggets.
Well, and don't look now, but the Grizzlies are 9-1 in their last 10. So we've got, you know, 7-8 games left and a very smashed up Western Conference. Obviously, somebody's got to come out of it. Who will it be? We'll wait and see.
I'm excited for the playoffs. You know, I think a lot of folks around here are hoping for the Jazz to be part of the play-in scenario. And, you know, that, of course, would make it more intriguing. And you and I would love to do a few more games together. But I think the NBA playoffs are pretty interesting this year in the NBA because I think it's really wide open. I think the best teams are in the Eastern Conference, but there's no one shoe-in as good as Milwaukee is. They can be beat, I feel. And I think the West is as wide open as it gets. I think we're in for a real treat this year in the playoffs.
Yeah, just looking at scores tonight, I saw Denver pretty much shellacked Phoenix or Philly tonight. Oh, I guess Philly came back and made it a little more of a game.
But no Embiid and no Harden.
Right.
In that one.
Which is part of the reason I don't believe in Philly, because I think that's a game you show up and play. But 116-111, Denver wins that one. So every night it's just fun to jump on the stats. Right now, with 10 minutes to go in the fourth, Minnesota up 3 in Sacramento.
Hmm.
And I watched them last night play against Golden State, and it was a phenomenal high-level game.
And the Clippers are whooping up on the Bulls 77-62 with 7.5 to go in the third quarter. They're, of course, relevant because the Jazz are kind of jockeying for position in the lottery odds with the Chicago Bulls. So we can continue to keep an eye on that game. But I think the West should be pretty intriguing. We mentioned the Mavericks. They smashed the Pacers tonight 127-104. And Luka, by the way, had one of the more incredible passes that you'll ever see, getting himself out of a double team in the corner. Pretty remarkable. If you get a chance to jump on social media and check that out, definitely do so. But Phoenix is going to be right there. And they look good tonight. And I thought the supporting cast looked good. We'll see what happens when Kevin Durant comes back. And, you know, if Chris Paul can stay healthy, even though I don't think he's quite as important to this roster as he has been in previous years. But they certainly need all hands on deck.
Still 10 assists tonight. I mean, he's the general. And he will he'll just make sure everybody does their job. But, yeah, 10 assists for Chris Paul. Did not shoot the ball well, but it must have been a bug because nobody really did, yeah. You know?
All right, let's check out real quick your Chick-fil-A foul shot review of the game. Download a whole new way to Chick-fil-A. Earn rewards with the Chick-fil-A One app. Leading the way from the line tonight for the Jazz with Lowry Markin at 11 of 12. The Jazz were 18 of 27 as a team, coach, 66.7%. That's a number you got to see go up a little bit. Talen Horton-Tucker was 0 for 4 from the line tonight. Walker Kessler was 2 of 5, so that's a number that maybe needs to improve a little bit. The Suns, on the other hand, were 20 of 22 from the line, so they were 91%. Combine that with the offensive rebounds, and that might be a little bit of a story.
Yeah, I do like the fact that Jazz got free throws, you know, a little above their average, but got to make them. It's only good if they go in. If you miss them both, it's Chick-fil-A, the opponent.
Exactly.
And we did not have any of that
tonight. No, we did not, which is unfortunate. All right. We're seeing, looking across the glass to Jamil. We are going to have some player sound coming up next. So stay tuned. We'll get their reaction from the locker room straight ahead. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. Jazz fall tonight at the Suns, 117-103. You are listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Wow! The outcome is in the books. Let's get to the reaction. Hear from the coaches, the players, as well as the coach, Tim Lacombe. It's the Mark Miller Utah Jazz Postgame Show. Here's Jake Scott.
Jazz Postgame. Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Jazz fall tonight, 117-103. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share MarkMillerSubaru.com. Again, your final 117-103. The Jazz fall to the Suns tonight. What did you think about Lowry's game? We talked a little bit about it after Coach Hardy kind of discussed it. He had 25 points. Of course, Lowry extremely consistent with those numbers, you know, about at a season average. He was our master of the glass tonight with 9 rebounds, had a couple of assists, but didn't shoot well. 6 of 22 from the field, 2 of 10 from 3, but did go to the line 12 times and hit 11 of them to get to that 25 points. But, you know, coming back from that wrist thing, certainly a tough dude. Lowry obviously wants to be out there, but just didn't find it kind of tonight. Didn't take over. How about that? You know, we've seen him take over some nights. He didn't do that tonight.
And a big part is ball, you know, he just didn't make shots. I think about the layup. You know, he got in that first quarter, he got all the way to the rim and just kind of got caught in the air. But again, he's been so consistent, and I'm just looking through his game logs. I mean, he's had a couple of nights, you know, that have been tough, but everybody does. I think the hallmark for him this year has been his ability to fight through it. And, you know, even shooting 2 for 10 from 3 and 6 for 22 overall, he was able to go to the line, as you said, 12 times and get 25 points and 9 rebounds. And, you know, help the Jazz be in a position going in the fourth quarter to have a chance. And certainly would make more shots, but tonight you just didn't.
All right, let's get down to the Jazz locker room and hear from the man himself. Here is Lowry Markkanen.
Obviously, rough shooting night for you, but is that something just fair? But is that what the defense was doing, or just kind of rough shooting night?
Rough shooting night. I thought it was getting good looks. Didn't fall tonight, and we'll bounce back.
How's the hand wrist feeling right now?
It is what it is. Just, I don't think it's going to go away soon. I think I fell down on today again, so it's just part of the game, but it's fine. Man.
Kind of talking to Will earlier about like how much time guys are spending in the locker room right now, or training room, getting ready for each game. How much time are you spending on off nights? Kind of
like practice days.
Yeah, just practice days, like getting your body ready, going through like massage work, all that kind of stuff.
I do different kind of stuff. at the facility, but I'll probably say if we don't have practice, I'll probably be at the facility like 2.5 hours probably. Just doing different stuff. Like I might go on court for a little bit just to get moving. Like you said, massage, cold tub, hot tub, running in the pool, treadmill. All kinds of stuff. So.
Is that something you've done your whole career, or is that just now you're the guy who's taking more shots and it's a bigger load?
I just kind of learned what works with my body and trying to, obviously the load is being bigger this year. Playing more minutes and just doing more in those minutes, I would say. Just takes a toll on your body, but not going to hide behind it. I got to be better, so just gonna bounce back next year.
What is the pain management like? How do you manage pain during this time?
just suck it up, I guess. No, it's just if I know it's like, of course, everything can get worse, like worst case scenario. But that's just a sport and sports in general, life. But if there's like good possibility that it might hurt a little bit, but it's like nothing's broken or stuff like that, it can't really get worse. So I've played with more pain. So.
What's the mental approach when you're going through the bumps and bruises this late in the season?
It don't matter when the game starts. It's like walking into the arena, you might feel it, but you still 6 years in and whatever, how many games I play, you still get the adrenaline boost when the game starts, and kind of that takes care of it stuff. But of course, when your body gets cold and after the game, and then it kind of like, oh, I got hit this game. I didn't even realize it during the game. But so, yeah, you don't really think about it.
Defensively, you guys gave up that 37-point first quarter and then kind of settled down, it seemed like. What was you felt that changed in late, kind of later in the game? Or is it just shot making?
Well, I'm sure it's that too, but yeah, I think I've said this before, we were moving, flying around better on our zone, and I haven't really looked at the stat sheet yet about like free throws and what was the numbers, but
there you go. So you want to look at it?
No, I think we picked up physical a little bit and try to, obviously our offense goes to our defense too, like you have live ball turnovers, they run transition breaks, so I think we could do a better job in transition after that, and rebounding as always. They got some offensive rebounds in the second half. There was that one possession and they got like four, and like just got to limit those, and I mean sometimes ball's not going to bounce your way, but yeah, definitely can get better, but we just got to be ready to go from tip.
What was working on Booker the final three quarters for you guys? Because the first quarter, obviously, he had 18 points, but he only scored two baskets the rest of the way.
I think we gave him different looks. We did play some zone. We blitzed him a couple times, and just give him different looks. Obviously, he's a great player. He can still get it going, and I think he did a good job of facilitating after that. He figured out what we're doing, but just trying to adjust during the game, and I think we made his life a little bit harder after the first quarter.
All right, there you go, Lowry Markkanen tonight as the Jazz fall to the Suns 117-103. Lowry again, 25 points, 9 boards, couple of assists, 11 of 12 from the line, but his shooting struggled, 2 of 10 from 3, 6 of 22 from the field. What'd you think about what we just heard from Lowry right there, Coach?
Yeah, he's frustrated. He's a competitor. But probably the most important thing he said is he got good looks, just didn't knock him down. And I felt the same way. He's been so consistent this year, so it's an outlier. It's different what we're used to. But I also love, hey, what do? You just come back. You come back and play the next one. And he's been great at that. He's been great at turning the page if there has been a tough one.
He did acknowledge that the wrist is bugging him.
No doubt. And I saw, that made me nervous the other night when I saw him go to it a few times.
Yeah.
But he said he kind of fell on it again tonight. So we'll see. We'll see how things
That's a
continue.
Tough one. It's hard to shoot when your wrist is hurt. So
it's hard to shoot when your wrist doesn't hurt. But that just, for these guys, it's like a degree of difficulty. You know, for me, I could be in great health and still be hard.
But as we've talked about a lot, the Jazz are shorthanded. I mean, this is not the deepest team in the world after the trade deadline, and that's when everybody else is healthy. So Lowry with his wrist will be something to keep an eye on. But, you know, as we saw specifically what would have been Friday night against the Bucks, it's hard when you're playing against good teams when you're shorthanded without your best player.
But I love this mentality of shots not going in. I've got to be a little bit more aggressive, be a little more forceful, and get myself to the line, which he did 12 times, making 11. Scorers score. They find a way to score. And Lowry's developed, you know, into that, seems like, each and every night.
All right, let's keep the postgame sound rolling. Let's go back down to the locker room and now hear from Talen Horton-Tucker.
Talking about beginning of the fourth quarter, how he felt like the defense was really good, but he feels like maybe that group like needs a little more help generating some offense. Guess what were kind of your impressions of that stretch and what can be done to kind of help that out?
With that group that we had in, we're just trying to, we're playing kind of almost outside of the paint a little bit, so just trying to get some type of paint touch or something to crack the defense open or get it started or something that we need. So just trying to, you know, we'll look over it and try to, you know, regroup and make it better next game.
Devin Booker, after having 18 points in the first quarter, you guys were able to hold him to 6 points, 2 baskets over the final 3 quarters. What did you do defensively after the first quarter that really kind of allowed you to lock him down and kind of force the other guys to make plays?
You know, that was really the game plan, just playing the reason that we start playing the zone and things like that. Just trying to, you know, make the game harder, give those guys that are capable of going off of good nights a different look and try and make it harder on them. So I feel like we did that, but, you know, other guys stepped up and made shots at the time moment. So.
We'll talk about, you know, less than 10 games left and everyone's going through bumps and bruises right now. You have bumps and bruises you're going through right now?
Yeah, I'm playing through a lot right now, but that's, you know, I didn't come to come out and just tell everybody, like, you know,
playing with a sprained ankle, playing with a hurt arm or something like that. But, you know, I feel like, you know, everybody has kinks and bruises. So I talked to the other day just saying, especially this time, it's around the time where everybody's mentally and physically tired. But, you know, just trying to push through it and, you know, I feel like we can. Can I ask, like, how much time you spend per day or per off day in terms of kind of getting your body right, ready for the next game?
Most of the days that we get is optional. I go in for treatment and try to, you know, get everything done to my body as far as, like, getting flushed, getting in the cold tub, see I'm icing out, you know, steam room, doing a lot of different things just to try to rejuvenate my body and keep me fresh to go through these last little stretch of games.
Talen Horton-Tucker, and Talen had a nice night tonight, 16 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. He was 7 of 18 shooting, 2 of 7 from 3. Did not shoot at the line well, 0 of 4, but admitted right there he as well is battling through some stuff, Coach.
Yeah, everybody is at this time of year. There's nobody out there completely healthy, and all for different reasons, but there's tons of wear and tear. Like, my back is killing me from sitting in this chair. and that's just me, right? These guys are out there coming off screens and getting hit, falling on the ground. So, of course, and this time of year, trainers are so busy. You know, the line to get in there and the time is sacred. So you got to take care of yourself. And but I agree, at this time of year, everybody's hurting.
And Talen has a lot to play for, right? You know, he's a guy that I think a lot of NBA folks out there still have high hopes for as to play a long career in this league. And he's got a player option next year for $11 million. So odds are he's going to be back on this squad and wants, I'm sure, to play his way into another major contributing role.
And you know what's interesting? We're talking tonight at dinner. I just think he's so intriguing. And we've talked about his ability to make kind of remarkable plays, but it really is his size. And tonight there was a play where, in that first quarter, where he drove it, and I can't remember who it was, but they bounced off him, and he was able to finish the play. He can get into that mid-range, and he can command space. You know, he's got a great idea of where to go with the ball, and he plays really fast. He gets up in the air sometimes. you know, and he's working on those turnovers. But he's been an impressive piece and something I'm really excited to see going forward.
Yeah, think about it. He was battling for minutes with our guy Nah earlier year, you know, and had some DNPs and things like that and has had to evolve his game a little bit to be more of a ball handler because that's what this team has needed down the stretch. Mm-hmm. He deserves a lot of credit for that, I think.
I totally agree. He came into a whole new situation. He's basically playing a whole new position, but he's done it with a smile on his face, a willingness, and I'm telling you, there is some top-end stuff. We've seen his ability to finish, his passing. And so, you know, there's a whole lot there, particularly for a young, young player. And, yeah, I've been impressed with him. I love his attitude. He's a gamer.
He is. There's no doubt about it. I want to remind you about the Utah Jazz Most Valuable Educators presented by Instructure, the makers of Canvas. Throughout the season, the Jazz and Instructure will recognize 14 MVEs. Each one will receive a visit from Jazz Bear, a $1,000 grant, a personalized jersey, and tickets to see a Jazz game and a suite. Go to utahjazz.com/MVE to nominate your favorite educator right now. Your final tonight, the Jazz fall at home to the Suns, 117-103. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. We'll get you play of the game and we'll wrap this one up. Coming up next, you're listening.
You can rely on Atlas Butler for all of your plumbing and drain service needs. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. One call truly does it all. Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Listening to Utah Jazz basketball.
Running hook, blocked it.
The final box score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh, my! Booker drives to the rack, gets to the cup, blocked by Kessler. Walker picked up by Markkanen. Mother, may I step to the rack? May I slam this home with two hands? The finisher on one end, the sheriff denying on the other. 61-60.
There's your play of the game. Our dude, David Locke, doing fine work as always. And it's brought to you by Larry H. Miller Dealerships for service, sales, and selection. LHMauto.com, driven by you. It's your Jazz postgame. Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Jazz fall tonight to the Suns, 117-103. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru. Featuring the My Subaru Is campaign, real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at markmillersubaru.com. That was the the hockey blunk.
Yeah, that was the exact example of what happens when a blunk is when you when Walker, the blocker, Esquire, the sheriff. We've got a lot of nicknames for him. But when he blocks it on one end and then follows on the other end with a dunk, that one was Walker with the block, Lowry with the dunk, so that's called a hockey blunk.
Kind of like the hockey assist.
Correct.
But a blunk. And Walker did have that blunk in the first half. And, man, he runs the floor well. That's something you point out often, Coach, and I absolutely try to pay attention to it because it makes a big difference. You know, it made a big difference when Rudy ran the floor. It makes a big difference when Walker runs the floor, and he's really good at it.
No, I told you the cruise ship analogy. You were just out on the ocean, but the way that cruise ship casts a wake on the water, that's what running big man does to the defense. You know, fans it out, makes everybody have to hold to protect the rim, and you get shots. You get better shots and open shots.
Walker Kessler had 7 blocks again tonight. How about this stat? From our dude Ben Anderson, said there have been 7 block games this season in the NBA, and Walker Kessler has 4 of them. Brooke Lopez, who has 2, is the only other player with more than 1.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
I mean, that's good company. Very good company.
7 block games. He's done that 4 times. And like Coach Hardy pointed out in his postgame, I mean, there were some really difficult, wild blocks where he blocked that floater. That was something. He blocked it at the apex, too. I have no clue how he got up that high.
Yeah, and he's had some beauties this year. Think about the ones right at the rim that he saved. His ability to block with either hand, you know, is such a weapon. So, yeah, it's so fun to watch this development. We talked about it. We've been able to sit here the entire year and just watch these guys get better. And certainly Walker blocking shots is certainly a forte of his.
But the Jazz came up short. The Suns got a bunch of offensive rebounds tonight, 18. They shot very well from the line, 20 of 22. And they got, five players in double figures, three of those coming off the bench. So a lot of their peripheral contributors had good games tonight. Love watching Terrence Ross get out there and play, by the way.
He's a good player.
Yeah. He is a good player and has had to overcome some injury stuff in his career. So fun to see him find a role with a good team. And you and I both like campaign. I mean, he's great.
Solid politician, runs a very good campaign.
Now he's very persuadable, persuasive. That's where he went, their campaign.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago, right, where he kind of came on the scene when the Suns were the first year with Paul. And campaign came in, and I felt like his presence. So you had Paul, who's very regimented, getting the mid-range, and then campaign comes in and just wreaks havoc, you know, out in transition, trying to get into the middle all the time. So he was a great addition. Another Murray State player, a la John Morant.
If you're just joining us, just a review of a few of the stats. We just talked a little bit about the Suns. Again, they were led by Devin Booker at 24, DeAndre Ayton had 14. Chris Paul had 9 points tonight, but had 10 assists and zero turnovers. The Jazz were led by Lauri Markkanen's 25 points. Did not shoot well, though. 6 of 22 shooting, 2 of 10 from 3, but was 11 of 12 at the line. We mentioned Walker's 7 blocks. Well, he also had 18 points and 8 rebounds, so another big game from him. Talen Horton-Tucker with 16 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. Quick update, by the way, Sacramento, the Kings, yes, those Kings can end the longest playoff drought in sports, and they will, by the way. They're going to make the playoffs, but they could have clinched it tonight. There's a minute 15 to go, and they trail the Timberwolves 116 to 108. So does not look like the Kings will clinch a playoff berth tonight.
And how about the Wolves? You know, this would be 4 wins in a row, 1 at New York, Atlanta at home, at Golden State, and then Sacramento. So maybe they're finding a little bit of a rhythm.
And our guy Rudy tonight, 16 and 15 so far. So that's a pretty good night. Haven't seen Rudy quite put up the numbers this year that he has in the past. He's got 2 blocks, too, and 4 assists to go along with those 16 and 15 points. So Rudy having a big night.
And he's a master of the glass for them most nights. I'm flipping through. But not as dominant there as he was here. Other guys to gobble him up.
He was master of the glass every night there for the past several seasons because he was the only size that Jazz team really had. This Jazz team's a little bit different. We see him spread around the master of the glass a little bit more.
And it's evolved, just like everything else, all season long.
Feels like Walker's gotten a lot better rebounding that basketball.
You remember when Coach said, we don't have a guy that can go get us gobbled rebounds every night. Now
might not be true anymore, right? All right, Coach, let's get some final thoughts from you on this one before we turn the page.
Well, it was, you know, I think the surprise part to me, I thought that, Lowry did not shoot the ball well. He played hard and got the same shots, and they just didn't knock in for him. I think that really was the difference in the game. I thought the Jazz just did not make shots. Phoenix was able to get on track there in the fourth quarter. And while we've said it all year long, the Jazz battled, and that's what I love. Walker Kessler continues to impress. Last couple games, he's just been phenomenal. And as a rookie, a force to be reckoned with and somebody that will enjoy playing for a long time.
All right, we want to say everybody who helped out on the broadcast tonight, of course, David Locke and Ron Boone, terrific work from both of them. Thanks to Ben Anderson and Mike Smith for jumping on in the pregame show tonight. Appreciate their help, especially Ben stepping up to the plate last minute. Appreciate his work. Thanks to our broadcast assistants. Thanks to Jamil Hawkins, executive producer of the Jazz broadcast. Thanks to Mark Miller Subaru, the title sponsor of the postgame show and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. And of course, Coach Lacombe. Man, it's good to see you. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
I'm glad you got a little sun. You look good.
I needed it. I need a little sun. Again, the Jazz lose tonight to the Suns, 117-103. Up next, the Jazz take on the Spurs Wednesday night in San Antonio. That game will tip off at 6 o'clock. Pre-game coverage begins at 5. You have been listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.